You're listening to Science Friday on NPR. I'm Ira Flatow. If you've ever wanted to visit Mars, like we were just talking about, and then maybe walk the planet, explore the planet on your own, or how about seeing the rusted hull of the Titanic? Or if that outer space is more your thing, you might want to do other outer space things on Mars. Well, now you can visit all of these places, and you won't need an oxygen tank or a spaceship. You can explore all of these places in the newest version of Google's computer atlas, Google Earth. And it's a great way to learn about science, too, whether you're interested in new underwater creatures discovered in the Antarctic seas, or you just want to brush up on your Martian topography and see the tracks left by the Martian ruiner, the Martian explorers out there. You can actually see where they went. Two pioneers in this field are with us this hour to talk about this virtual exploration adventure. And if you've got any favorite destinations on Google Earth or want to talk about Mars, give us a call. Our number is 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. And you can always Twitter us at SciFry. Let me introduce my guests. Sylvia Earle is the author of Ocean, an illustrated atlas. She's also an explorer in residence at the National Geographic Society and founder of the Deep Search Foundation. She joins us by phone. Welcome back to Science Friday, Dr. Earle.
Nice to be back on board. How are you?
Fine. How are you? John Hanke is the director of Google Earth and Maps for Google in Mountain View, California. He joins us on the phone today. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you. Good morning.
Dr. Earle, how did you get started in this, get involved in this?
Well, it was a chance encounter at a meeting in Spain. John probably should tell the story, but I had a chance to publicly say how much I love Google Earth and how my kids love it, my grandkids love it. And I said publicly to John, why don't you finish it? You've done a great job with the dirt, but what about the water? Is that about right, John?
Yeah, Sylvia was kidding a little bit, but she suggested that we rename it to be Google Dirt because we had ignored
Google Mud,
the planet.
And so, John, you picked the ball up from there?
I did. You know, I mean, what Sylvia said got under my skin a little bit, because once I started thinking about it, I realized that we had kind of inadvertently ignored a big part of the planet in our quest to make a 3D map of the world, and it really maybe wasn't a good idea, and we should maybe fix that. So I had Sylvia come in and talk to the team, and she did a great job of inspiring them to do just that.
You know, Sylvia, it's been said that we know more about the backside of the moon than we do about the bottom of the ocean, right? How true is that?
That's still a fair statement. Certainly, we have better maps of the moon, better maps of Mars and Jupiter. Only about 5% of the ocean has truly been mapped in the same kind of detail that we have for the moon or Mars. That is not reflected exactly on the new ocean atlas that Geographic has produced, or on the new version of Google Earth that includes the ocean. But looking at it, it looks as though we've got all the facts in place. But if you really bore down, you realize that there's a lot left that we still have to fill in. We have the broad strokes in place.
Yeah.
We know where the big mountains are, but the terrain that you would like to have that is equivalent to your backyard is out there in the future when we have better technology to really get down to where the action is and map the ocean.
And, you know, that's evident when you go on Google Earth and you look at Mars and you look at the terrain of the bottom of the ocean and you see how much more detail we have about Mars than we do about the bottom of the ocean.
Isn't that ironic? I mean, I love reaching for space, the skies above. It is glorious, and I wouldn't take anything away from that. But we need to at least have equal attention given to this part of the solar system or this part of the universe,
yeah,
since our lives depend on it.
John, how much can you really see underwater in the program? Tell us about how you were able to put the detail in there.
Yeah, well, once Sylvia set us down this path, as I dug in, I realized how hard it was to depict the bottom of the ocean because we just don't know that much about it. One of our collaborators in this, Walter Smith, who's at NOAA, has talked eloquently about this at our launch, about really in a very quantitative way how much more accurate our maps are of Mars than they are of the ocean bottom. We do have a map that at some resolution shows, you know, the ocean bottom for the entire world, but it's much more accurate in some areas than others. So,
yeah,
you know, our own NOAA has done a great job of mapping U.S. coastal areas and the areas around, for example, the Hawaiian Islands. But when you get out into the deep, more remote parts of the ocean, that's based a lot of times on as you know, Walter was telling me recently, a lot of the data that we have is based on ship soundings that may be decades old, and it's quite inaccurate. So it's disappointing in a sense that we don't have better data, but it's also kind of inspiring to think there's this huge part of the planet that's that is unexplored still.
Are you going to be able to put some of the videos of the smokers and, you know, those chimneys and the hot water spots with those wonderful animals growing there?
Well, we did. We actually have 20,000 data points scattered around the ocean because, you know, the point was not just to show empty geography. We wanted to give a sense of what lives there. And so we did that by partnering with, well, a lot of scientists as well as media organizations like National Geographic and the BBC, folks like Woods Hole that take Alvin down to look at those vents. And the smokers, and so they provided lots of great images, photos, and moving pictures in many cases. So we've got actual footage from the subs showing, you know, the smoke coming out and showing these crazy crabs and worms and creatures that thrive in these extreme environments. So, yeah, it's a very neat way to kind of get a sense of what's around there, what's down there.
And how do you search for that? If you were to go on Google Earth, how do you find those places?
Well, Earth, you know, our idea of searching on Google Earth is you point the globe at the place that you're interested in and you dive in and look and explore. So really all you have to do is you have to have the latest version, download it, and then you turn on the Explore the Ocean layer, and then you'll see lots of little dots pop up all around the world's oceans. Mm-hmm. Everywhere there's a dot, there's a story, a photograph, and sometimes a video. And you just double-click and zoom in. And once you get to the ocean surface, if you keep going, you splash right through the ocean surface and go underwater. And you
and that's such a cool trip. it's just amazing. To fly over, you see the surface ripple. Even creating that was quite a challenge, wasn't it, John?
So you create the ripple as you fly over.
Yeah. It looks like the surface of the ocean is actually moving, which it actually is, of course.
Sylvia, can we see any damage to the ocean from this?
Sadly, yes. There are places that show the effects of bottom trawling, and even from the skies above, where the shrimp fleets in the Gulf of Mexico, off the coast of China, and elsewhere, you can see the great plumes that are emanating from the behind the ships that are dragging the ocean floor. But more than just that, to be able to dive down and see what happens when a trawl goes over, there's much more information to come.
Such as?
Things of that nature, plus among the partners that were assembled, and there were ever so many, I don't know what the final count was, but we had a council of advisors that included representatives from the Census of Marine Life, for example, that provide databases for critters that live in the sea to be able to see what kind of creature lives where with images. And another source that is incorporated is the Archive, the UK-based organization that collects images, video, and stills of endangered species, land and sea. And they're spread all over the world now, so you can visit with everything from snow leopards to whale sharks and see them.
Yeah, if I
where they live.
Say something about that. Sylvia, one of the most powerful things she said to the team was, look, you know, people have to see this in order to begin to care about it and then hopefully to begin to change their actions. And the data from Archive, which shows, you know, which puts a face, which has these great images of the world's endangered species, both on land and in the water, does a remarkable job of that. And you can, you know, you hear about a creature like a humphead wrasse. Well, you know, how emotionally connected are you to that? But when you see photos of this gigantic, beautiful fish swimming freely, you know, in the Red Sea, which is the area where one of the areas where you would find it, it really brings home, you know, what a majestic species this is and what a loss it would be if it weren't around. And, you know, we're trying to get that information out there. And as school kids and adults are using Google Earth, we'd like them to stumble across these little nuggets and maybe raise awareness a little bit.
Sylvia, is this something that scientists can put their own data into and share?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. One of the aspects that I love about this whole enterprise is that this is the beginning. We refer to the launch as the commencement. Now it begins. You know, we've got the platform, and the invitation is out there to use this platform to really provide information, keep it updated, and think of new ways to use Google Earth with, now that it's complete, John, with the ocean, to tell stories, to get information, to look at patterns. The Alliance collaboration with the National Geographic has made possible looking at about a dozen focus areas with short video clips that describe the nature of each of these places. But then people have put in addition to that, hundreds of photographs that fill out the nature of what is in, for example, the Galapagos Islands, mm-hmm. or the waters around Bermuda, the Sargasso Sea. Mm-hmm. And so it is just a beginning. I think that we may have opened Pandora's box in a pleasant way.
Brendan in Philadelphia.
Good things are coming out.
We hope so. Brendan, hi. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi there.
Hi.
So I'm wondering about the Great Pacific Garbage Dump. I've read a few articles about it online, and the reports are that it is decades of currents, ocean currents, have been pushing plastics together in a region of the Pacific Ocean, and now it's basically a floating island of garbage that's twice the size of Texas. And I haven't been able to find it on Google Earth, and I'm wondering if it's available to be seen now with this updated version.
John, you want to take?
Well, I'll say something about that. You can see some of the effects of it. The way it's been described to me, that there is this massive amount of plastic. A lot of it is just beneath the surface, so it doesn't show up in satellite images as clearly as you might think. But what you will find, for example, is an image of a monk seal in this area west of the Hawaiian Islands as you get out into the Pacific that's entrapped completely in garbage. You see the effect that this can have on wildlife.
Uh-huh.
All right, thanks for calling. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. Let's talk a little bit about Mars, too, because it's a fantastic view that we were given of Mars. Did you have cooperation with NASA and JPL in getting those images?
NASA built that data set for us, and it's really their work. And they went to great lengths to include, the latest images from the orbiters and even, from the landers. So you get this sort of street view on Mars experience. You can put yourself in the position of standing there and looking around, in 360 degrees. It's as close as I'll probably ever get to walk to Mars, and I love it, frankly.
Well, what was interesting? We were on there today looking at the Mars comparison of some of the canyons of Mars and the canyons of the Grand Canyon, and you could actually get a more detailed picture of Mars than you do of the Grand Canyon.
That's heartbreaking.
Well, I think it's miraculous that, we can virtually have this experience of lifting off and flying across those canyons in Mars, or just planting yourself and, walking across the surface. I was a huge science fiction fan as a kid, and, I love this ability to kind of virtually experience what it might be like to actually be there.
Let me just do an ID. This is a Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flato, talking with John Hanke of Google and Sylvia Earle. Yes, Sylvia, you wanted to jump in there?
Yeah, just that the maps in the new ocean atlas that the National Geographic has produced, it really updates the first time in 30 years information about the seafloor. There's a map starting each of the chapters about the major ocean basins, and that's a hold-in-your-hand version that gives you an idea of both what we know and also what we don't know. There's so much more to explore.
Yeah.
And it's just a wonderful convergence that we now have the ocean in Google Earth, and we have a new fancy atlas of the ocean that makes it possible to see the world with new eyes, both of them.
Sylvia, where would your prime target for new exploration be? Fill in those gaps.
Oh, goodness, anything beneath the surface. But I think the high seas represent probably the areas of the greatest unknown. The place beyond national jurisdiction that is currently sort of open like the Wild West nations, several are out there exploiting it before we've even had a chance to see what's down there.
And now we have exploitation of the polar cap, too, keep hearing about.
Well, under the ice at the North Pole, or not the North Pole exactly, but all of the Arctic, it's never been possible to see what was there before, except with little tiny samples drawn from holes that are carved into the ice. It's true in waters around Antarctica as well. Mm-hmm. But the deep sea, I mean, I long to go to the Mariana Trench, of course. I've wished for that for years. And now perhaps we may be on the edge of being able to truly explore it. Only two people have been 7 miles down. And that was 49 years ago. I hope that I'll be around to witness and maybe participate in not just to bounce to the bottom and quick look around and, yes, there are critters down there, but to thoughtfully explore the deep sea and connect it to everything else.
Is there a project plan to go back?
Well, there are plans underway right now to design subs that will go to the deepest part of the ocean. They don't yet exist, although Woods Hole has a robotic device that is on the edge of being launched to go to full ocean depth. I love the idea of certainly having robots go everywhere, but There's no substitute for sending a real live human being.
Well, if they don't cut science out of the stimulus package, maybe you'll get to go back there. This compromise committee is looking to cut a huge amount of the NSF budget that was put in there. I was reading today.
Well, the company DOER Marine has embarked on this project called Deep Search, so it's worth checking out.
Mm-hmm. And John, one last, I got about a minute left. What about Google Earth? Could we have Google Atmosphere? you know, there are different layers of the atmosphere. You have the ozone hole, and you have all kinds of weather patterns and stuff.
You're right. I think that could be our next product idea. I think, you know, the connection between ocean and atmosphere and climate change has been an interesting kind of byproduct, being able to expose some of those connections. There's probably more we could do there. But this idea that there's a lot of exploring still left to do on the planet is fascinating to me, and I hope that we can continue to build out the detail of the ocean bottom. In Earth, you know, people are still discovering things, sometimes with little clues from Google Earth. There was a group recently that found a little patch of green in Mozambique on Google Earth, and scientists mounted an expedition to this patch, which ended up being a bit of forest that people hadn't spent much time in before, and they discovered several dozen new species.
Yeah.
So as we map, I think there's a lot that we can still learn about the planet that we live on.
Well, thank you both for taking time to be with us. Sylvia, always great to have you back.
Yes, nice to be on board, and look forward to seeing you again.
Whether you're at the bottom of the ocean or just Central Park Lake, I remember that one.
Indeed.
It's always good to have you. Sylvia Earle, author of Ocean and Illustrated Atlas, also explorer in residence at National Geographic and founder of the Deep Search Foundation. John Hanke, director of Google Earth and Maps for Google in Mountain View, California. Have a good weekend to both of you.
Thank you.
We've got to take a short break. We're going to switch, let you guys take a breather and come back and talk about the FDA. So stay with us. We'll be right back talking about fixing the FDA. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from NPR News.